there. This is Robin Eaton from Bitchin' Over Wine podcast and the Savvy Bitch Lifestyle, built for potty mouths and not for pussies. Thank you so much for joining me for episode number 12. Today I'm going to be joined by musical Canadian artist Eric Cormier, who's, I don't want to name drop too much because I want to save it for you guys listening, but he's working with some real big people right now and he's making some big fast moves in the Canadian music industry. He hails from a similar small town from me, like I am, from the Maritimes, which is pretty awesome. So we're going to chat a little bit about that. And also we're going to talk about a little bit about how Canadian Idol and the Maritime Idol shifted his vision and path in the music industry. And also why he's open publicly about his personal life and relationships. But I find a lot of people in the limelight tend to keep that under wraps. So I was really curious to find out why he's so open about that. And then also just, you know, his biggest challenges as a musical artist breaking into the industry and growing, and also why he went from hip-hop to country. But before I get into all that, would you like to learn how to enjoy your vacation with almost 90% off? I'm talking about a travel club that I personally have invested in, and I'll travel the world taking advantage of its exclusive perks. It's pretty freaking badass, I just have to say. I would like to introduce you to Renaissance Travel Club. Renaissance Lifestyle Passport is a uniquely designed destination club for value-seeking travel enthusiasts. With the gravity of over 77,000 vacation-loving members, they have the rare ability to structure deeply discounted rates at the most popular resorts around the world. This is an excess of 5,000 condos, resorts, and villas all over the world. It's really absolutely just cool. I would love to show you how this works. So if you would like to click on the link below the show notes, there's a free webinar that will introduce you on how this actually works and how it is possible. And not only that, how you can turn it into a business opportunity and actually get paid to travel. Sounds kind of unreal, but I'm living it, I'm doing it, and I want to show you how to do it as well. Thank you again and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Bitchin' Over Wine Podcast. She slays dragons, will steal your ice cream cone right out of your hand, and has been known to hitchhike in granny panties and rubber boots. Your host and CEO of the Savvy Bitch Lifestyle, Robin Eaton.
Right, welcome Eric Cormier. How are you doing?
Good. Robin, how are you doing?
Pretty fucking fantastic, actually. Thanks for joining me today. Cheers on the coffee. And it's almost like a Sunday drive today because it's, you know, instead of sitting somewhere public and drinking wine and stuff like I normally do, we're going to have a nice little coffee and be responsible. Coffee's good. When I was doing my face stalking or internet stalking of you to try and find out a little bit about you before we sat down today, one thing I did notice in your social profiles is that you're an East Coaster like me, and Fredericton, I saw that somewhere. I think it was on your website that you were there for a period of time, but you didn't grow up there. You grew up in a smaller little town, and I want to know where that little town is and what it's called, and also like what it was like for you growing up there.
Freddie Beach is where I graduated. Yeah, I'm from a small town in the East Coast, outside of Sackville, New Brunswick, a little place called Dorchester. I actually grew up in both. We had a little farm in Dorchester, actually, where we got to raise some horses and cows.
Growing up on a farm, like, I think I mentioned before to you that I lived on a farm for a period of time, so you have to do like all sorts of chores and you get sort of a base of or a foundation of working at a young age. So did you have to shovel cow manure and all that fun stuff?
Oh, I had to do a little bit of that, but, you know, I didn't have to put my hand up a cow or anything.
Like me, I helped birth a cow once. That was, it's a favorite childhood memory. What's your favorite thing, you know, when people ask you where you're from, and you have very, like, your accent just stands out. You can tell that you're not a Torontonian, if that's even the right word. But when people ask you where your accent's from, where you're from, and you tell them, you know, you're from the East Coast, you're from Fredericton or Maritimer, what do you think? Are you proud of that, or, you know, or is that something that you kind of state very clearly in all your bios where you're from, whatever? Is that important to you, where you come from?
Yeah, I think so. Like, a lot of who I am is based off of, you know, where I was from. And I don't know, the Maritimers are so, you know, so much friendlier than everyone else I find, you know. Everyone's in such a rush here in Toronto and, you know, even out west a little bit. And, back in the Maritimes, I feel like everyone's just taking it easy sometimes.
I find this so interesting. When, do you notice the speed limit on the highway? It's 110 there, but nobody fucking drives past 90, I find, on the highways. I find that very, very interesting, and that kind of goes to show that, like, the pace of life is so much different there. People, I guess, are a little bit more down to earth. People tell me all the time, oh, you're from the East Coast, people are so much friendlier, nicer down there. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I think people are so hustle and bustle here that definitely, like, that's true. Like, people don't know their neighbors here. But I definitely think that we're still kind to each other in Toronto. And people always say, you know, even when I'm traveling, oh, you're from Canada? Oh, everyone's so friendly there. I'm like, listen, dude, there's just as many assholes there as there are here. But, like, how do you feel about, what about culture shock? Coming from a smaller town, moving to a bigger city, Fredericton, and then you said that you lived in Calgary, and then now you're here. How has, you know, small town life affected you coming to here?
You know, there's tons of different people everywhere you go, and, you know, there's different things to do everywhere you go as well. And pulling and playing a lot, I noticed that, you know, everywhere, you know, there's still that, I guess, common ground where everyone socializes. So depending on where you are and where you're playing, I find that it's similar to really any.
One thing I love about Fredericton is it's unique and it's very musically driven. There's a lot of urban types of music. I know you said you did a little bit of hip hop stuff or in your earlier career. Where were you first introduced really to music and made a decision that you wanted to pursue it?
I made the decision would have been maybe a little bit before graduation, writing all the time and you know, communicating with a lot of other artists. And, you know, finally I got out and did the whole Canadian Idol thing. And then I got a chance to work with Chad Hatcher, who worked with Classified. And from there, I just kept branching out and working with all sorts of, different unique artists.
Did you do the Maritime Idol too?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Yeah.
Right. You did Maritime Idol and Canadian Idol. Out of the two, which did you feel was probably the better, I wouldn't say opportunity, but sort of grounded you and set you in the direction that you're going now? Which one do you think was the most helpful?
That's a good question. You know, I think that Canadian Idol helped me a lot because it helped me want to be better and, develop a little bit more and learn about who I really am. And with Maritime Idol, it was really helpful to get, you know, a chance to go on stage and, you know, meet guys like Travis Cormier, who's worked with, Steven Tyler from Aerosmith and recently went gold. But I think that both had a very unique influence on my career now.
Mm-hmm. I've had a couple different Maritimers on my podcast and they all seem to be really doing well. But the one thing I noticed that we have in common is that we kind of hold on to our values and our hardworking. I guess values is the only word I can smart enough to think about right now to use is, and, but we are very career driven. What do you think, or what characteristic that was instilled in you as a child has helped you move and keep going towards your goals and within your music?
I think that because, you know, the the way I was raised, you know, I got to spend a lot of time at my cottage, which is by PEI, so watching the tide come in and out and, you know, playing horseshoes. But more importantly, you know, my entire family is very musically inclined, so they're always playing and performing and laughing and having, you know, a good time. And, you know, I always wanted to take that further. You know, I saw them on that tiny stage, and I would play on that stage and feel really good about it. And so I just wanted to take that to a larger audience, I think.
So you actually played with your family.
Mm.
That's so neat. I think that's great. What type of music were you playing together?
A little bit of everything, really, like from literally Johnny Cash to the Eagles to, you know, basically anything current, Zac Brown Band to anything that we really wanted to play.
That's awesome. Musically, I mean, the big powerhouse cities, you know, are the larger ones. So then we have New York, we have LA, Toronto, and Vancouver, probably like the biggest cities in North America. So why did you choose Toronto, or is this like a stepping stone for you to bridge over into possibly the American market later on? Are you happy staying within Canada for now?
Yeah, I mean, I chose Toronto because it's very star-struck. Like, I mean, there's artists coming in that are doing really well. For the most part, it's kind of like, I guess, you know, that stay young forever kind of mentality here. So I like it here. I like the mountains. I thought they were beautiful. And you know, I miss Lunenburg, of course, out on the East Coast. But I think that I chose Toronto because, you know, there's a lot to offer here. And eventually, I think it'd be awesome to branch out in the U.S. as well and other places in the world.
I think that's a lot of artists, you know, Canadian artists' hopes and dreams to be able to bridge that. Not too many have been successful at it. Does that kind of make you feel like you want to try more, or are you content with if it happens, it happens, if it doesn't, that's cool too?
Yeah, like even before I said, like, it's very fast paced out here, so like just trying to keep up with everyone else, and I gotta find what's gonna make me special and stand out and continue to develop and work hard, and you know, if I get a shot, that's great, and if I don't, then at least I did so many impressive different things that you know, I could still look back on it and be proud of everything I accomplished.
So you're super young, and listening to your music, I purchased your album and listened to it a lot. a lot, almost stalkerish a lot. It's very good. Did your image and musical style develop over time, or was it always just there? You said something about hip-hop, so was that the first style of music you started playing with other musicians, other than your family?
You know, there was you know, I guess good and bad parts of everyone's childhood, and I think that hip-hop just gave me, you know, a way to hear music in a different, a different ear, a different way. And, you know, I really dig, you know, Eminem, and I really digged a lot of the old school, you know, rap. You know, it was just something that I wanted to, you know, try out and mess around with.
Yeah, the reason that I was asking the question is because I find that people, they sometimes, I don't know if sellout's the right way to describe it, but I find some artists, they'll do what record labels want them to do, and they're not really embracing their true selves within their own music in order to, you know, either it's confidence, confusion, being afraid or intimidated. So do you feel like in your last album that you were actually able to show who you are to the world through your lyrics?
I think that some of the songs, you know, that you can get to know me a little bit better. Each song has a story. Each song was written a specific way, and you know, people could get to know me through my music for sure.
Mm-hmm. So your EP album, Miles Away, I find it's like you're very young, but I just feel like you speak from, or you're singing from an old soul type of place. Like, I feel like you're wiser beyond your years. Am I imagining things?
I get that a lot, actually. Even when I play live after I'm done off stage, you know, I get that question, or I get that comment quite a bit, right? It's like, oh, you have a very old soul. And, you know, I really enjoyed that set. And, you know, wow, like, how's that possible kind of thing? And I think that, you know, I definitely feel like there's something inside of me that, you know, I guess could be a little bit older, or maybe some of the experiences that I've had in my lifetime helped me become a little wiser. But
yeah, I was just gonna say, like, sometimes we have to grow up fast given in situations, you know, in our childhoods and things like that, so maybe that explains it. But the cool thing about it is that it allows you to reach an audience that might be a little bit more mature or older, you know, maybe somebody's as old as I am per se. Do you get compared to other artists a lot?
Yeah, I do. There's times where I sing a particular you know, song, or you know, just do a cover of something, and somebody will.
There are a couple songs on the album that remind me slightly of other artists. The song Cinderella Princess, I think you mentioned that one of your influences is Dallas Green, and I actually hear that, like, at certain parts of it. And then I listen to Crazy in Love, I hear Blue Rodeo, a little bit of Jim Cuddy in there, who I love and I've seen perform many times. And then there's other songs where I kind of feel like I hear a little bit of Jacob Hogart in there. So your sound and your voice is extremely diverse. You have quite the range, which is pretty impressive, by the way. Do you feel like those people have influenced you indirectly or directly? Or did you find that elsewhere within the music you were playing earlier with your family?
Yeah, like a lot of that would be accurate. Like Dallas Green, Jacob Hogart, two guys I've actually met personally, which is awesome. They're really great guys, and I'm a huge fan of you know, from Alexis on Fire to City in Color to Headley, and as girly as that may sound, but
no, it's all good. Their music's amazing. I love Dallas Green. He is the best male voice, I think, one of the best male voices I've ever heard, ever. I didn't like Alexis on Fire, the band per se, but as soon as he broke out on his own, I was like, yes, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I really dig them. And then, you know, I get sometimes you get Rain from Our Lady Peace and Rob Thomas and that kind of thing, and you know, it is flattering, you know, once in a while.
Mm-hmm. And going back to my comment earlier where people sort of sell out to get known and popular and things like that, do you feel like, you know, you have an album that you're going to be starting to work on or have already started working on with some really cool collaborations on it? Do you feel like if you are approaching a record label that you're going to conform to producing and putting out the types of music that they want you to, or are you going to be able to, do you think that you're going to stand your ground and just say, like, this is my music, this is who I am, and take it or leave it? And the reason why I'm asking is because Demi Lovato openly stated in her Spotify performance, her live one, that she felt like as a pop artist that's what she had to do, whereas she wanted her name to get known, and now she has the liberties of taking her music where she wants to because she's established herself. Do you think that's a smart business move, or do you think that people will appreciate your music if it's coming straight from you right from the beginning?
There's a lot of smart business tactics involved with her decision making, for sure. You know, as far as what I'm doing, you know, I definitely am just writing really my older album that's up there now, Miles Away, that has a lot to say about just doing what I love and just writing without any worry about what it should exactly sound like or what it should, you know, what it should be like for the radio or for the label or whatever. But for the single I have now, you know, I don't think that I don't think we're gonna sell out or anything like that. I think it's just a matter of, you know, I wrote this really nice country song, and, you know, got tons and tons of talent to back it up, and for everyone that's willing to help on the track itself is doing more than a good enough job, and I think that if everyone comes together and works really well together, then, you know, there's a really good song that could potentially, you know, go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you did share with me a little snippet of that new song, which is awesome. You do really well in the country. Do you find, like, you did some hip-hop, and then you sort of went to more of acoustic, and not really pop, just, I don't know how you would describe it. You definitely had a unique sound there, but now you're going into more country sound. Do you find it's going to be a different audience that you're... Obviously, you're going to be going to country music things, but I feel like people that have known your music in the past are still going to follow along with you, which is great. But you're going to obtain like a whole new audience this way. Is that the reason why you're doing it, or is it because you just really love country?
I think there's a little bit of country in everyone, or there should be. I think that, you know, the dedicated fans, you know, and anyone that's been going to shows and anyone that's been tuning in for years, I think that they'll keep doing it. And I think that would be awesome to keep having their support. And I think that branching out into this industry is and this part of the industry is smart for me, just because I can do it in the long term. I have a lot of experience living in the country and hanging out with all my friends who are you know, a bunch of hillbillies and you know, basically I think that with the help of you know, some of the folks on the single, potentially the album that's coming up, you know, that have worked with artists like Justin Bieber, Carly Rae, Nickelback, Shania Twain, Michael Bublé, and tons
Jeez,
of
you
others.
Got the whole friggin' Canadian celebrity fan list dream there.
Yeah, and hopefully the guys from, you know, Brett Kissel and Dean Brody and what have you, you know, hopefully they're not too busy and on tour. But, you know, yeah, we'd like to hopefully have some really talented musicians jumping on board with us on the album and single. And I think that when we release it, people are going to be pretty excited about it.
Well, I kind of already am. So I want to know a little bit about... You have a theme that goes on with all your pages. And so you have your name, Eric Cormier, there, but you also have The Sky is Blue. Tell me a little bit about that. Where'd that come from? Is it just an attention grabber, something to set yourself apart from other artists out there? Are you trying to brand yourself as that? What's the deal?
I just wanted to create a different name for myself, you know, for Instagram and Twitter and, you know, the online world that's out there. You know, everyone types in Eric Cormier. I'm sure that they'll still be able to find me. But The Sky is Blue is just something to throw out there. And I saw a lot of people do it.
But why specifically The Sky is Blue? Like, what about that made you choose that? Or did you see it somewhere? Just a random thing? Or
I was actually...
Or is it a belief? I don't know.
I was actually sitting with my girlfriend, and I said, I need an Instagram page because technology and this and that, and I don't really have an online presence right now, and I'd like to kind of get one going. And handed her my phone, and she typed in "This Sky is Blue," and kind of ran with it.
Okay, so it's "This Sky is Blue." Gotcha. Sorry about that. That's really neat, actually. And I mean, I've heard of, there are other artists, you know, that obviously don't use their real names or whatever, like The Weeknd and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of similar. This is a couple extra words, which I don't think people are gonna mind so much. When you're writing your songs, you write your own songs, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've been writing right from the beginning, like all your stuffs. I mean, I've heard a few covers, which are really, really great, but I actually like your original music a lot better.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I do write all my songs. I am branching out finally with some co-writing.
And you're taking some vocals, some coaching now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But your voice is good on its own. Like, so what makes you think that? I'm not saying like everybody has to work on themselves and their craft or whatnot. Is that what it is? You just want to maximize on your gifts?
I think so. Like, self-teaching myself, that was definitely not easy. I guess not being very open for a long time about help kind of kept me closed off for a while. So, you know, being open to development and, you know, getting some guitar players to help me out and some big names, big vocal coaches, you know, to come in and help me, you know, people that have helped many artists on The Voice, and then again with like the new up and coming, you know, country stars like, you know, Jordan McIntosh and some other folks like that, right? So development is definitely important, and I'm definitely looking to keep developing.
From a business and branding standpoint, it's an extremely smart move, and I don't think a lot of musicians that are playing in little mom and pop bars and stuff like that, I don't think they're thinking of those things to really fully develop their career. And maybe that's why so many very talented people, by the way, don't get anywhere because they're not making those smart choices and developing. So good for you on that one. When you're writing your music, are they coming from very personal situations or thoughts? Are there just things that pop up in your head and you write them down? Is there a process, or do you have a little ritual that you do that helps get those creative thoughts? And do you start with the music first or the lyrics?
You know, each song is different, you know, whether I'm, you know, I've already written lyrics out, or whether I've already written a piece of guitar out, or if I'm in the mood to write a ballad, if I'm in the mood to write something completely outrageous. I think it's just whenever the writing juices flow, I just kind of put it to paper.
What is the fastest timing that you've written a song?
I think that the quickest song I ever wrote was like probably 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
You literally wrote it in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But then, you know, others might take a little bit longer.
Sometimes it could take weeks, take months. I'm still picky with the, you know, certain, you know, pieces of the song. And even that 2 minute song, I'm sure there's like 150 different things I could do for it. But song has a different amount of time that it would take to complete it.
What is your biggest challenge in your career right now, do you think? What do you feel like you need to bridge past in order to really achieve your goal, your dream?
The biggest, you know, hurdle or the biggest struggle is just being able to network very quickly, you know.
Like at a faster rate, you mean?
Yeah,
being
thanks.
Connected. Yeah, no, but you know what? That's the beautiful thing about social media. And you said something about yours being hacked, so that's kind of a shitty deal. However, because you said also you don't think that you have a strong social media presence, I think yours is a little bit better than a lot of independent artists that don't really have, you don't have a management team or anything like that. You're, like, you're doing it on your own, so you're doing really good, by the way. Social media is a blessing and it's a curse for a lot of reasons. It can put you in contact with people as fast as, you know, as the internet goes, unless Kim Kardashian decides that she wants to break it with her ass again. So, I mean, that totally works to your benefit. And a lot of people are afraid to talk to people face to face. So that sort of eliminates that first fear of rejection, whatever. You can just put your shit out there to the whoever it is that you're trying to connect with, and then just hope for the best, or that you'll make a real connection down the line. How do you feel you'll overcome that challenge then?
Self-managing myself had its ups and downs, and just juggling everything day to day, it's extremely hard. And you know, I think that I'll be able to overcome a lot of the obstacles just because of, you know, experience, hard work, and dedication, and building that network up, and eventually getting the contacts that I need to, you know, take it to the next level.
Well, I think you're on your way for that one. Is there any other goals that you have musically for yourself for this year?
Musically, I had some goals to get into some festivals. Obviously, the Boots and Hearts is coming up. You know, I'm in the CCMA, CMAOs, Indie Week, and I think that I'd love to get out this single and in a timely manner, hopefully, and mm-hmm. Everything just takes so much time in the music world. And then, obviously, working on an album and the co-writes, doing that development and working with tons and tons of other artists. Maybe do another podcast.
There you go. And going back to the social media thing a little bit again, is there any challenges that you're facing in balancing, like your private life and in contrast to your career? You know, you're very open about being in a relationship on social media. It's not hard to find anything about that there. And a lot of artists, especially now, are being smart about their privacy or whatnot. Do you feel like that might come bite you in the ass a little bit later, or it is what it is and you'll deal with things as they happen type of thing?
Definitely not ashamed of my relationship. You know, I love my girlfriend very much. Her name is Bladen Joy.
She's beautiful, by the way.
She is. She's amazing, and she's no. She's definitely not afraid to get out there on social media a bit as well. And she's definitely not new to the industry as well. And mm-hmm. So having her help and support is great. And you know, having people know that is also great. And you know, I think that it does affect it a little bit. You know, I noticed a lot of guys will actually listen to my music more so than girls in the last year or so. So I've definitely noticed a change in the demographic. But yeah.
Because you have a hot girlfriend. No, it's totally because of your music, obviously, as well. Building upon that a little bit more, she says she's super supportive. So she's understanding, you know, of the... Because being an artist, it demands your time, your focus, your energy. And I personally know a lot of music artists that don't even do relationships because they're like, I just don't have the capacity to deal with another person. Do you feel like she's really, truly your teammate? Because she seems to be helping you. So maybe she's kind of helping you manage the business side of things a little bit more for you. Are you worried about things deteriorating if, you know, say... she's getting approached by weirdos on social media, or if, you know, safety becomes an issue, or privacy, like your shit's just out there for everybody to know? Are you going to be prepared for that? If, you know, you're going to be famous, by the way. So I can pretty much, I know this. So when that happens, everybody's stuff's out there. You know, there's nothing sacred anymore. You're in the news, you're all that kind of stuff. Do you think you'll be ready for that?
Yeah, I think that I've got so much more dirty laundry than most people, but...
I don't know about that. I don't know.
But, yeah, no, I think we're ready for that, and I think, you know, I'm ready for that, and you know, just gotta get out there, and she does do a lot, you know. She recently just helped, you know... talk to a few radio stations and, you know, help talk to a few other, you know, managers. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to do everything yourself. And so when you have somebody that's willing to go above and beyond, you know, once in a while to help you, it's definitely something that you can't take for granted. That's for sure.
Well, it seems like she's really going to bat for you. And that's one thing I kind of completely relate to is I always tend to do things all myself because nobody else seems to do anything for me. And usually you're very fortunate that you have that extra help and you have that support. And it seems like she's a true team player for you, which is great. So if you can have an amazing relationship on top of that, the sky is the limit. It's not even
the sky is blue.
The sky is blue. looking back at your younger years, your self-taught artist with guitar and vocals and all that kind of stuff, if you were to meet a young lad or lass who says, Eric, I see what you're doing, I love it, I can totally see myself doing what you're doing, I look up to you, what do I do? Like, what do I do to get there? What steps do I need to take to make things happen for me? What would your advice be to that, you know, 14 or 15 year old self?
Bottom line, just enjoy yourself, you know, with whatever you're doing. If it's if you're playing in a rock cover band, just enjoy your rock cover band. If you're gonna write your own music and you want to perform your own music, then go do that and do whatever you love, you know, at least at the beginning. And definitely think it's important for you know, young artists to take advantage of what's available for development, you know, like, mm-hmm. I wish I would have done music school, or, you know, I wish I would have taken a little bit more serious. And I think that you know, if they're able to get it in young and, you know, really understand everything that there is to know, then you know, that can make them very dangerous, you know, later in the music industry.
I think also, like, looking at music as a business too, not just like as an art form, because if you have those two concepts together, it's probably just going to take you up to higher levels a little bit quicker. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely think so.
You have some shows coming up. You mentioned like the CMHAOs, but what other things are you coming up, like, for show-wise? What do you have?
I have a March 20th show with Michelle Rawson, you know, the lead singer from Euphoria, rock band. It gets played on the radio quite a bit here in Toronto. And
where's the show at?
That's at Music Junction.
Oh, okay. And yeah. So people can get tickets online, or do they have to buy them at the door? How does that work?
Yeah, I think the events are all created there for most of the shows that I got going on. So,
okay.
So you can just click on the link.
On the line, go onto the website. Okay, cool. And then what else do you have coming up?
There's another show there, March 30th, the Placebo Space, and then that's...
That's Toronto as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Put on by Robert O'Neill, and I was fortunate enough to do some co-writing with La La Music, who's also from the East Coast, and who got radio play there on the Wave, several other stations, and...
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna hopefully perform our song that we're writing.
Cool. cool. I'm going to come out if I can. I'll do my best. Come out and support you. I always love being there for friends and, you know, people that come on my show and stuff like that. With respect to your social media, everyone can basically find you at The Sky Is Blue. Like, your website's under that name and everything as well?
Yeah, yeah. It
is. Okay. Cool. What I'll do is I'll just include that in the show notes so that people, if they're listening to this and they're on the podcast page, they can just go directly to there to follow you and all that stuff. So is there any other things that you want to just kind of throw out there to let people know? Any other events or things about your album people can start looking for more stuff that's going to be released from you?
There is a few other shows too, like April 12th, going to be doing a show with Noah, the Wet Bandits, and on a Tuesday, that's in Quinn Mills, and I'm sure there's going to be more, but yeah, like all my stuff's online right now, and people can check out Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Pandora, that kind of thing. If they want to check out my album, Miles Away.
Yeah, you got to get that. It's so good. I love it. I might listen to it on the way home. Because awesome, yes. I'm a weirdo. Okay, so one last question. This might seem a little bit strange, but if you were to be told that today's your last day to live, and you were told you that here's your last meal, this is what you're going to eat, and that's it, what would you choose to eat for your last meal?
Wow, that's...
It's kind of out there, but I'm curious.
That's really extreme. it's a good question. I would probably ask for, like, an extremely large steak. I mean, it would take forever to chew it, and
you can live longer.
Yeah, a little bit of extra living time.
That's hilarious. And what about, is there anything that you want people to know about you? Like something, you know, a little quirk or just a little something that most people wouldn't assume about you?
I think, like, everyone in the Maritimes would know this, but, you know, people in Toronto may not. I graduated with a goaltender for the St. Louis Blues, Jake Allen. Mm-hmm. We played badminton in high school together. I mean, that's pretty cool. Pretty weird, too. And then I also got killed off in a horror movie. It was called The Night. And
really? Yeah. So you're an actor, too, or something?
Yeah, I did a few acting roles, but nothing too major. I mean, yeah. That was like a budget blockbuster movie, and then okay. Blockbuster went out of business. So you
can I know, right? That's hilarious. So when you died, did you die gracefully?
Yeah.
Was it?
No, I was actually seduced and killed, and we had to, like, scream, and there was, like, throw up all over me. And
oh, jeez. What do they use for, like, fake throw up, though?
Yeah, we used a can of peas, so...
Oh, nasty! Like pea soup, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I had to eat it cold, and it was just disgusting.
Ew! That's so gross! Oh, yes, movie magic, right? Okay, well, I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and chat with me. It's awesome. I think we got lots of really good stuff that people are going to really enjoy listening to.
Yeah, and if anyone's listening in France, you know, feel free to take advantage of grabbing a copy of Miles Away. You know,
in France, too.
I'm branching out for several countries right now, and I know there's still a bunch of countries that I haven't hit, so yeah.
That's awesome, man. Appreciate it. All right, well, thanks everyone for listening, and just see the show notes below, and I'll put all the links to Eric's stuff and any sort of news and things that I am at liberty to mention in the show notes, and I'll see you on the next episode. Thanks, guys. Once again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Bitchin' Over Wine Podcast. Eric and I had a lovely time, and we did some off-record chatting about some really cool shit that you guys don't get to know about, but I do. Otherwise, you still get to follow him on his social media and check out his music on iTunes and Spotify, which I've all linked below, and also ticketing information for his upcoming shows in Toronto. And again, make sure you check out the links that I've posted for Renaissance Travel membership. And please subscribe to Bitchin' Over Wine Podcast, because shit's gonna get real here, guys. I'm gonna pump out some really good information and resources for you to not only be inspired but build an online business, or just, you know what, just have a good laugh with like-minded people. There's no harm in that, right? Ciao for now, and I'll see you on the flip side of episode 13.